believe, if you say you haven't, I'm not sure if I believe you. Because I think we probably all have. If not anything else, probably when we were in primary school. And an incredible number of people know the Lord's Prayer that actually say they don't even believe in God, but they still remember all the words from having been taught them. So let's have a quick look at what the words mean. Our Father in heaven, in the traditional version that we would have been taught in school, hallowed be your name. And really that's saying, Father God, you're great. Isn't that good? We're going to say, Father God, you're great. We're telling God what we think of him. Right now, that's the praise bit that we talked about before, isn't it? And it continues, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're really saying, I want you to be in charge here. I want things here to be the way that you would have them be. I'm a bit of a songwriter in Welsh, and I'm working on a worship song at the moment that expresses it. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done, here in our land, even as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven, even in my life. Because that's where it comes to land, isn't it? If we don't want God to be in charge here, we probably don't want him to be in charge here. Yeah? But Jesus taught us to pray it. Now, here's an interesting thing. Is this possible? Is it possible that we will see here on earth God's kingdom come and his will be done, even as it is in heaven? Is it possible? How many people think it is possible? How many people think it's impossible? Of course it's possible. Otherwise, why would Jesus have taught us to pray it? I pray that we would see our prayers answered in our generation, because we live in a world that needs it. And we need to pray it fervently. We ask God to take charge of us, our families, our schools, our country, but mostly us. May God be king in us. Give us today our daily bread. Who likes to eat bread? Who likes to eat chocolate? Who likes to eat other things other than bread and chocolate? Yeah, so it wasn't just talking about bread, but Jesus is using bread as an example. Give us today our daily bread. What he's saying is, please give us, Dad, please give us what we need. We're talking to our Heavenly Father. What do fathers do? They provide for their children, don't they? Good fathers do anyway. They provide for their children. We're saying to our Heavenly Father, please give us what we need. We're asking God to give us the things that we really need. Not the things, just the things that we want. You know, I'd like a Ferrari, please, Lord. Jesus didn't say, give us today our daily Ferrari. He said our daily bread, the things that we really need to get by. And forgive us our sins. That's the first part. We like that, don't we? Who likes the idea of being forgiven? I do. Who likes the idea of letting other people off? Slightly less keen. Yeah? As we forgive those who sin against us. I'm sorry, forgive me and help me to forgive other people too. And what we're saying sorry for the things that we've done wrong, and we're asking God to help us with others, to be patient with them. When people do things that offend us, how many people like to be offended? If there's a little part of all of us that likes to be offended. We can be indignant and stubborn. And it justifies us behaving in a certain way towards them. And Jesus teaches us to pray in a different way, in a different spirit, that we would be patient and forgiving with other people, even as we would like God to be patient and forgiving with us. If God treated me the way that I treat other people sometimes when they've offended against me, I would be toast. But he doesn't, because he's merciful and loving. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many people find temptation difficult? Oh, okay. How many people are not being honest? We all find temptation difficult, don't we? We might think, oh, not as difficult as that person, but we all find temptation difficult. We do. Yeah. Keep me safe and don't let me give in to doing wrong things. That's what we're asking God to do. Don't let me give in, but keep me going. Keep me safe. We're asking him to help us to live for him and not get led astray. Can you think of somebody that easily gets led astray? I wonder if it's you. Yeah. And then this last part that's there in the footnote, isn't it? But it's there in some ancient versions, but not in all of them. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. You're wonderful, we're saying to him. You're king, you're wonderful, and you always will be. Not just today, not just tomorrow, not just while I'm alive here on earth, but for always. Tell God you're glad that he's always going to be in charge. Can't think of anybody better to be always be in charge. Certainly not Boris or Trump or any political leader. We're glad that God is always going to be in charge. And at the end, what do we say at the end of a prayer? Amen. Okay, as you put your hand up, I've got a question for you. What does amen mean? Go on, you'll have to shout a bit louder. Say again. Yeah, that we want it to come true. Yeah, it really means this. Yes! and do you know that's scriptural? Did you know that's in the Bible? It's perfectly scriptural to say yes at the end of a prayer. How do I know that? Because it says that all God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. So often when I'm praying with little children, I teach them to say yes at the end of the prayer, because I don't know what amen means, but they understand yes. It comes with a fist pump, by the way. You just have to. Not sure if fist pumping was in the Bible, but, you know, today it does. All right, this praying is cool. It's good, isn't it? Isn't it a privilege we have that we can come to God and we can pray anytime, anywhere? We don't have to be down on our knees. We don't have to close our eyes. We don't have to put our hands together. We can do those things if they're helpful. Sometimes, who prays like this? Yeah, who prays like that? Muslims, we think of Muslims praying like that. Where does that come from? It comes from the early church. It was adopted by Muslims hundreds of years later. But it's a submission to God. Interesting, isn't it? But we think of that as being a Muslim thing. Why is that? Because Muslims always pray like that and Christians don't. But maybe if we were serious about submission, we would sometimes. Not always, but sometimes we would. Great. We're going to sing a great hymn to finish.